Welcome to the happiest podcast on earth.
Hey, hey, everybody. Welcome to this week's episode of the happiest podcast on earth. I guess technically you can't. If you're with us on Patreon, you can see that we posted the live video of this episode, and we are in person. We are here in Disneyland at the Hojo. Howard Johnson? Can we say that? Are we allowed to say that? Where we are?
We're just automatically
and
assuming.
Nick's here. And Nick's here. I was going through the stuff.
Hola, everybody.
There it is. Nick Foster here. So we are on our Disneyland trip, ready to go to the Star Wars. What's it called? Star Wars After Hours? Is that the official name?
Disneyland After Dark Star Wars Night, and it starts in less than 2 hours.
Yep.
And we have to shower and change, so we are running on a time crunch. But you know what? It's worth it because today has just been so much fun already. We have, like, we literally hit the ground running.
We did.
Let's talk about this.
Yes.
So you flew into, there's two airports that a lot of people will fly into when they fly to Disneyland.
There's a right one and a wrong one.
Okay. If you're going straight to Disneyland, it makes sense to fly into John Wayne.
Yes.
Which is closer to Disneyland.
Just a few minutes.
Yeah, like 15 minutes, some may say.
Yeah.
Which is where Hunter flew in this morning and then picked up a rental car, which we'll get to the rental car in a minute. It was a big deal. Hunter was very excited about this.
Mm-hmm.
But you could also fly into LAX, which for our case made sense because we were closer to where we were going. We weren't going straight to Disneyland.
Yeah, but now I'm closer to dropping off the car tomorrow.
Sure. But, you know, could have rented a car near LAX, but that's besides the point. Anyway.
could, yes.
So, do you want to share your car experience?
We rented a Corvette C8.
Yeah.
It's fun.
If you know what that means.
It's a very, very fun vehicle to drive. Very fast, very jolting, not very relaxing in LA traffic.
Yeah.
Figured that out. But you're going 15 miles an hour anyway, so it kind of... It was pointless at times, but it was also fun.
I wouldn't say it was pointless because you were so excited about it leading up to it, and also just the excitement that you had, like when you pulled up at LAX to like pick me up. I was excited for you.
You're like Batman.
Yeah.
Blacked out.
Yeah.
Corvette C8.
That was nice. It was really exciting to have you pull up that way, and then we felt cool. Like we felt cool because what we went and did immediately after LAX was we went and saw our friend Jasmine, mm-hmm. who works at the animation building at the Walt Disney Studio lot. And so pulling up to the lot to like the guard shack in this like
felt like we were about to go record lines.
Yeah.
We were like, we're here for, you know.
But we were also like a mess. We had like In-N-Out in the car with us.
Did have a tray or two of In-N-Out. Yeah. So
also Hunter is super, super what's the word that I'm trying to
clean.
Use? Sure. He's a very concerned is a very light way of saying this, but he's very concerned about the cleanliness of the vehicle because Hunter's main priority is to avoid any sort of cleaning fee.
Hey, you rent on Turo, you got that $3,000 deductible. You got to be careful.
Okay.
Can't be too careful.
So, like, literally, and this is, we experienced this back in August when we came, all four of
rented
us.
A Mustang
with Jared
GT,
and Corey.
The electric Mustang. And
yeah.
Everybody got French fries animal style and burgers animal style in the back seat, and I about had a heart attack.
He truly is like, I mean, guys, we won't go into all of it, but he's very, very concerned and worried about the cleanliness of the car.
Yeah.
I wasn't able to get out of the car myself.
I like to think of it as I'm a good steward of what I'm
if that's what helps you sleep at night, then that's fine.
I'll also say this, since this is a different format. Let's not bump the table. Because, listen. Well, let's let the table float.
Okay.
And Mel can edit this out if we need to. But
Mel, don't leave.
I'm worried about how this mic is picking up, like, even the slightest tap on the table. Because, like, if you do anything, you'll hear it.
Anyways.
But you're doing a great job. I just wanted to throw that out there in the nicest way possible.
That was very kind of you.
I was trying.
So that just pretty much summarizes what it's like hanging out with Nick and Hunter. But so moving on. We get to the studio lot. We got to see Jasmine.
And to recap this episode also, this is our Disneyland trip weekend, and this is day one of us doing studio tours. So animation studio, D23 tour, which we'll talk about in a second. Just to kind of say what we're going to say, right?
Sure.
And kind of give a heads up. But yeah, Jasmine is awesome.
Yeah.
She's hooked us up. last year, this year also with the private tour of the animation studio, which is something not a lot of people get to do. Right. Actually, you don't get to do unless you know somebody.
Right.
Which is really cool.
Yeah, it's not. So we'll get into this more in a minute, but we did a D23, like we did a Walt Disney Studio tour that is an official tour with D23, D23 being Disney's fan club. Yep. Also, I keep getting distracted because monorails keep going by outside of our window, and it's the coolest thing ever.
You can see them?
Yeah. Oh, okay. well, that's probably wise. Anyways, so...
Now I'm distracted.
So, anyway, we get to the studio lot, and we got to go into the animation building. If you need, like, a frame of reference for the animation building, if you watch the short that was released, I think it's like Once Upon a Studio is what it's called. It's on Disney Plus, and it was released for like 100 years of Disney animation. That is the studio that we basically got to walk through.
Yeah, live action filmed with the animation overlays and the actual stairwells, actual restroom. It was funny because you're obviously a scholar of that show or that short, and you're like, this is the restroom. This is the restroom where they were hanging out.
The listeners of the Happiest Podcast on Earth know how much I love that show. Yeah.
Also, shout out to Nick Lee, who was with us on the tour as well.
I was getting there. Nick Lee met up with us.
He had the knowledge, really, of the short, too, of this or that and all those locations. So
Nick Lee is here at Disneyland with some friends. Yeah, and so it worked out where Nick was able to join us today. And we're actually going to get to hang out with Nick some tomorrow. So for those of you OGs, know Nick Lee used to be a pivotal part of the podcast in terms of like helping a lot with social media coverage at the park. So it was cool to see Nick. Nick Squared was back together today. Yeah. That was nice. Yeah. Anyways, we got to do that. We got to hang out with Jasmine for a little bit. Not for a very long period of time.
We had like an hour.
Right. Yeah,
like 11:45 to 12:45-ish, the tour at 1. But we got to walk around a little bit more in the animation building than we did last year. Because, I mean, last year it was Wish, right? Was that the project that they were just kind of like shutting everything down to? We got to see one of their screening rooms, which was really cool.
Yeah, we did. We got to...
A lot of behind the scenes.
We got to see Jasmine's office, which we didn't get to see last year.
Didn't get to see that. And then, as always, the crowd pleaser, the animation studio store. Which is your favorite.
Yeah. Did some damage. Oops.
Did a little damage.
You guys know how I love my merch. And this merch is really cool because it quite literally you cannot get this merchandise anywhere else.
Yeah, it's cast members of animation. And you, even if you're a cast member, they don't let you into the animation building. You have to be you have to basically office out of the animation building or be called into the animation building.
And this store, it's not even really fully a store. It's almost like a concession stand window.
It's a trading post. Yeah. Wandering Oaken's trading post. Yeah. They have like a... They have a lot of, like, through the animation studio, they have, like, Moana's raft. They have a lot of kind of statue pieces. And then they, like, you'll walk around a corner and they just have kind of a prop, but, like, how it would be in live action from the animated movies, which is cool. Yeah. So, like, you're walking in the stores, Wandering Oaken's trading post, and it's the actual sign, wooden sign hanging down. And it's a prop that they made for the studio. Obviously, it wasn't used, but I thought that was kind of cool.
Yeah, those things. I love it. I love the details that are in that building. So that was cool. And then we got to buy merchandise, which I'm always happy when I get to do that.
Yep.
So
got to stock up on shirts for the Disney trip. Yep. It's a nice first day, you know, get your shirts for the parks. Now all the shirts that I brought, I'm just going to be like,
you're wearing them every day.
I'm going to wear the ones I just bought.
Wow. Look at that.
Look at us.
So after we left the animation building, that's when we did walk over with Jasmine and the others to, hang out on the
studio lot?
Yeah.
Is that the technical term?
It's kind of hard for like a frame of reference, but it's all one lot, but there is separation between a road. Like the animation building is on one side of the road, and then the rest of the Walt Disney studio lot is on the other side of the
road. Animation building and the ABC building, and then there's like a walkway bridge that connects them together.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, it's super cool. And we got to walk around the lot a little bit, got to go to the Disney Legends Pavilion.
Yeah, like a courtyard, I would say.
Courtyard, yeah. And then had probably like 15 minutes to burn, and then our D23 tour commenced.
Can I share what like a cool moment that happened before we like started our tour?
The one that I'm thinking of?
I don't know. Okay, but this is like, this is a very humble and modest brag, but it was the coolest thing ever because I was walking.
Nick has another podcast, by the way.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean,
nobody knew that already.
So we were like getting ready to separate from the group and go get ready and start our D23 like tour, and this was just, it floored me. I felt so like, what in the world just happened? Hunter wasn't there. Hunter was in the bathroom, but Jasmine was there, so she can she can attest.
In the bathroom.
Well, I mean.
I had to walk a long way, okay? They sent me all the way to the, behind the commissary building.
Yeah, that was far.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyways,
not
so...
Not very courteous, if you ask me.
Okay. I'm walking into... Or we're about to, like, leave, and one of the individuals who worked in this... So there's a building, you've seen pictures of it, I'm sure. It's like, has the seven dwarfs at the top of this building, and that is, like, the Walt Disney Company... like headquarters, like
is it the Michael Eisner building?
I think so. All of the like,
it's crazy that he got that named after him.
All of the like who's who's are in that building, like that's where
the
their
execs.
Offices are.
Yeah,
yeah, it's the
leadership execs.
Yeah, so there's an individual getting ready to walk into that building, and he turns and he looks at me and he goes, are you Nick? And I was like, oh dear, what have I done? I said, I am. And he's like, no,
you're
way
on our watch list.
He's like, no way, I listened to your podcast. And he was referring to that tracks. And I was like, what? I was so taken aback. I was like, you're joking, right? But it was just, I don't know. Like, that. I know that I'm sort of bragging in that moment. I don't mean to come from a place of bragging. But it was just, it's cool when, like, you pour yourself into this work.
Yeah.
And then it's, like, recognized. But to be recognized by somebody who was walking into the executive building of the Walt Disney Company, I was just like, what is life right now?
Yeah, Roz is also in that building.
Yeah,
she's watching.
She forgot to.
Always
I forgot.
She's watching.
I don't know. It was such a cool. It was such a cool moment for me. I was just like, "What is life? What is happening right now?"
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Super.
I was sad that you missed it, because then I felt like you were gonna doubt me.
I honestly didn't believe you. So.
Yeah, Jasmine confirmed.
Thought you were bragging, but.
Anyways,
so
D23. Yeah. So I have.
You are our gold member representative. The only reason we got to go on this tour. So thank you for that.
Yeah.
It was fun. A lot of different, well, there's like eight of us, right?
Yeah. So,
seven or eight of us.
Yeah. So D23 will release like month by, well, it's usually like 2 months at a time. They'll release dates for tours, and there's different time slots that you can pick for your tour. Mm-hmm. But you do have to be a D23 gold member in order to book the tour. And so, you know what? You might want to fact check that. It's either D23 gold member or just a paid D23 membership. But
we'll check it.
So yeah, anyways, was able to book the tour for us, and I tried to book like the earliest time that was available. Just so happened that like that group was about eight of us. And yeah. I want to say that the last
Did
time
they
that
get
we
big? Like how big was the
No, I think that's probably about what it caps one. Yeah, caps out on. Because you're walking through a lot of like tight spaces, and I can imagine that they don't want like a huge group of people.
Yeah. Yeah. And they take you like for the basic like the stuff that you get on the D23 tour. We went, you know, through the animation building, through the ink building. You get to see basically all of a lot of hallways, actually, now that I like think about it.
Yeah.
It's a lot of hallways, and it's explaining kind of the process of the animation studio. Hannah was our tour guide. She had a lot of historical kind of background information of when Walt moved over, and this building was brought over there from the Hyperion Studio, which you get to learn a lot about the kind of progression that Walt Disney Animation had. But the biggest draw, obviously, is the animation building, where we go through level one, then level two, then level three, and each level is responsible for a different process of the animation process, I guess, as you can say. Some were blue sky to backgrounds to rough sketches and then infilling the sketches. But it was cool to learn the whole animation start to finish of what it really entailed. You know, what'd they say? A few hundred, if not a thousand frames in a minute, and
yeah.
They're all hand-drawn like how it used to be, which was crazy. So that was really cool, but the highlight obviously is Walt's apartment, or Walt's office.
You keep
Walt's apartment's tomorrow. Walt's
apartment's
tomorrow. We're doing that in Disneyland.
Boom. Flipping those.
It's also technically his apartment too, because it had a kitchen and his personal quarters.
It was his office.
It was technically an apartment. But I didn't realize, one thing I did not realize is that that wasn't a thing before 2015. I thought they always had it.
No,
I didn't know that Iger moved in and like other other execs, like, they took everything out.
Yeah.
And then this is a more recent thing.
Right.
Like, in the last 10 years, they've restored it, and now right. it's an experience. I thought, like...
It's been there since the 60s.
Yeah,
oh.
I thought they were like,
yeah, no,
we got to preserve this. But I guess if you think about it, like, a lot has happened. Like, the 90s, Disney almost going bankrupt on before the Renaissance and yeah. all that, or the late 80s. It makes sense that they didn't just sequester off an entire right. quarter of their top
office
floor.
Space.
Yeah. yeah, yeah, it was very important.
So. Yeah.
That was the one thing that caught me off guard. But going in the office, you go through both reception areas. Obviously, the office is, you know, taking set up and basically staged by the Disney archives based on photos of what they said was the last day Walt was in his office. They said it, like, the office sat for years after because nobody had any idea what to do with it. And then what was his name? The founder of the archives. I forgot his name. Mm. But he went in like 4 years later. And nobody had touched anything, went in, took pictures of it all. They took everything to the archives, and then 2015, they brought it all back and set it up so people can experience it, which is really cool.
Yeah.
I appreciate the history of it. You felt an emotional tie.
Oh, yeah, of course.
as they're playing For the Birds, the piano's
Feed
in
the
there.
Birds.
Feed the Birds.
Yeah.
For the Sherman Brothers.
But. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I you guys know me. I'm emotional, so that's what I do. But I did. I didn't think I was going to cry this time around because I've done this tour before. I did this with Francie last March when we came to Disneyland. And so I thought that because I was, like, prepared, I was going to be fine, but I started crying. It's just, first of all, Feed the Birds gets me good, especially because of the short, the Once Upon a Studio short.
Yeah.
There's a moment where Feed the Birds
Which
plays.
We were surrounded because we were in the animation building before that, and then
just,
we went straight
just,
to the studio
just
had
wrecks
Feed the
me.
Birds playing as we walked in.
But then also she was telling, our tour guide, Hannah, was telling us a story of back in July for Richard Sherman's, I think, 95th birthday. She was on a tour and was in the room, like, next to the office where, okay, first of all, they have a piano in Walt's office.
So
that
you have receptionist one, receptionist two. So there's two rooms. You have Walt's formal office, then you have, like, his creative office, and then you have his personal quarters. So there's all together 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 rooms that you go into.
Right.
So his formal office is the one with the desk that you see. That's like the Saving Mr. Banks office, pretty
right.
much. It has the piano in it and all of that. And then she was on her tour, as
yeah.
you're saying. I don't mean to steal your story. But in the next office down, like, progressively,
right.
just walked out of the formal office.
Well, and so the piano that sits in there is the piano that the Sherman Brothers wrote iconic songs, like the soundtrack for Mary Poppins. And It's a Great Big Beautiful Tomorrow. And
yep.
It's a Small World, which is incredible in and of itself. I love standing in a space where history has happened because I love picturing myself in that moment. Like, I love picturing, like, Walt
yeah.
in his office with the Sherman Brothers. Like, it, being able to stand in that room is just so iconic.
It's a different feel. And you go to the archives after in the Marvel Studios building as you go through the rest of the D23 tour. And, like, that's cool to, like, oh, here's the glass case, here's the artifacts. But there's something, it's obviously more immersive.
Yeah.
It was literally in a space where there were some small, like, 1 foot tall little stanchions that kind of guided you. But other than that, like, there's no glass.
No.
There's no plastic covering things. There's no, like, you're not walking through a corridor of windows of, here, look into this room, look
no,
into that room.
You were
it's
there.
It's all just, like, fully immersive, which it's kind of like a, honestly, like a Disney attraction in that sense. Of,
yeah.
Like, everything around you is as it is. And to experience history like that is different.
It's
a different vibe.
It's
than
so special.
A museum, even.
Yeah, and like, just to, and again, it's iconic for any. If you're a Disney fan, first of all, D23, join it. And then if you come to LA, I would definitely incorporate this into your trip because just being able to go into that office, and if you think about the movies that were developed in that office and the ideas for Disneyland. And then the early brainstorming ideas for Walt Disney World. It's just iconic. And it makes me emotional. And I did. I started crying because... So she was talking about how she was in another room giving a tour in July.
Yeah. Made it all the way.
Full circle moment. And Richard Sherman was celebrating his 95th birthday and went into the office and started playing Feed the Birds on the piano while they were in the next room doing a tour. The way that I would have absolutely lost it had that been me, dear Lord. But it was special. It was, it's just, it's so iconic. It's so cool. Like, thinking about, like, down to the way that, like, paper clips are positioned on the desk, that's how Walt, like, left it.
I looked for the paper clips, and there weren't. They, for the amount of time they were talking about the paper clips, there weren't that many paper
Hunter
clips.
Hunter was in full, like, inspection mode.
I wanted to look at the things that, like, you have the stuff on the desk, but then there was, like, compartments on the side of the desk, like, down towards the floor. Like, when you walk in, there's a little shelf, and it's, like, it's 6 inches off the ground. It's, like, nobody would look under there, but they had books under there that... I was like, well, what's he reading?
We did walk out, and he was like, I'm going to fact check some of these books.
No, I was being funny.
I don't think you were.
They said it was exactly like, I'm going to just see. But the whole point of it is that every single item in that office, like you said, down to the paperclip, is what was taken out of that office.
Right.
Because they saved everything. That was how the archives started. That was basically the first project of the Disney archives, was figuring out what to do with that office. Which led to the proposal of, hey, we need a Disney Archives because we're throwing all kinds of stuff away. Which we got another cool story when we went down into the tunnels under the animation building, because they have, this is part of the D23 tour, they have tunnels under that you basically took the film cells and took them to the inking, is it the inking?
Ink and paint?
Ink and paint.
Yeah.
So they had basically the sketches and the film cells they'd take to ink and paint, but you don't want to take those outside because the sunlight would damage the film cells, all that kind of stuff. So they had a tunnel system. Which predated
very official
pronunciation, which predated like the Disney World utilidors and stuff like that. So that was really cool to kind of go into the tunnels on the floor zero. It's a 3-floor building, but to kind of see what that was like, just to imagine Walt walking place to place.
It's
down
so
there
cool.
and all of that.
Hunter tried to one-up me there and was like, have you ever been inside of the utilidors?
I thought I had you on something, but apparently not.
Nope.
But you haven't eaten at the Subway under Magic Kingdom.
No.
So I got you there.
Anyways,
get you a Subway melt under Magic Kingdom.
So, yeah.
I threw you for a loop.
No, it's just cool. But, like, just being able to do that, you get an exclusive pin, or a couple of exclusive pins.
For pin traders, we got two exclusive. Three, technically. Yeah. They're a Mouser and a...
I don't remember what it's called. Something about Donald.
Duckster? Duckster. Duckster and a Mouser.
Yeah.
They're like Oscars that the Disney company, like, awarded its employees.
Yeah, yeah.
So there was a pin of a Mouser and a pin of a Duckster.
Yeah.
And from there, we went back to the courtyard, the Disney Legends courtyard, walked around a little bit, went into the Marvel Studios building, looked at the Disney Archives room they have there, got to hold an Oscar.
Yeah.
A legit Oscar, a real one.
Walt's Oscar.
8 pounds.
Yeah.
But he didn't hold that.
Yeah, he did.
No, that was from a recent short, they said.
They
said it was recent.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure. Why would Walt let us touch an Oscar.
Why would it have been awarded to Walt?
It was awarded for a short. I'm going to have to...
We'll fact check that for
you. We have pictures. I will see if we can zoom in and read the label.
Some pictures are better than other pictures.
But it was a real Oscar.
Because some friends were...
I am not a photo taker.
No. It's not that. It's that I took pictures of Hunter, and then Hunter finished taking his photo
case.
And just walked off.
I had a whole case of Donald
Duck
stuff.
So I was left to have photos taken by another member of the tour who was kind enough to take pictures of me, but I was like,
I knew it was bad when they started doing the finger zoom.
There goes my friend.
Not just going optical. They did the digital zoom on you.
I'll take your picture, you'll take mine. It was
But now I know.
Thank you for taking pictures of me, Nick. I'm going to move on to look at the things that
now,
I want to look at.
But now I understand the courtesy. You're supposed to take a picture of the person who takes a picture for you.
One for one. But
so,
anyway.
So the tour kind of went there. We went to the multiple studios and kind of walked around outside. Got to see the film archives, the Disney Vault building. Very cool. Got to see it from the outside.
We also got to see... I mean, I think it's fine saying this because it was just there. But we got to walk past the Lucasfilm offices that are on the Walt Disney Studio lot. And... like behind that building are parking spaces. And who's
there's a nice Porsche Taycan in there.
And who's
for the one and only Kathleen Kennedy. She was at work.
She must have been at work, which was pretty cool. Like the person who is overseeing Lucasfilm and all of its projects was literally on the lot that day.
It's cool to go to the lot because in being on the lot, you never know what they're working on. You could just see whoever, right?
Yeah.
Anything could be going on.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of different companies that are on that lot as well.
Right.
So that was a really cool part of it.
Like they were tearing down sound stages.
Yeah.
They're not tearing down soundstages. They were tearing down like stuff from the inside of this. Yeah, yeah, sets from the
getting
inside.
Ready to build new sets.
Yeah,
but something that, and you end up on your D23 tour, you kind of walk through those buildings, and then you go to the gift shop that's on the Disney Studio lot, different from the Animation Studio gift shop. But that is basically just like a Disney store, and then they have a separate kind of like cast member store, which has some Walt. It's basically like Walt Disney Studios,
right?
But they also have T-shirts and hoodies, and
they have some like Marvel Studios gear in there,
and some Marvel Studios and Pixar.
Yeah,
they had some Pixar stuff. So it's a lot. That's another store where you're only going to get it there. Like,
right.
You can't go to what's it now? It's Disney Store now, right?
DisneyStore.com.
Right.
Yeah,
you can't get it from there. Definitely can't. But we had a special.
We did,
deal. And but this started
before we get to that.
Okay.
The stages, the sound stages, these sound stages are iconic because there are sound stages that like Mary Poppins was filmed in. Julie Andrews did work in them.
Yeah.
She came back and filmed part of Princess Diaries in one of the sound stages.
Yeah.
Some of these sound stages were used to build some of the most iconic Disneyland attractions.
Yeah. And there's definitely a history and a weight to them. They built the Mark Twain in one of the sound stages, and they did like a full assembly and then disassembly and then reassemble at Disneyland. They had the building, Teams building.
Right.
I don't remember what the acronym meant, but that was where they basically, Walt would find something cool and he would hand it off to his team and say, take that apart, put it back together, figure out how it works, and let's put it in the parks. And they did stuff like that. And
it's
that's basically where Disneyland also was dreamt and constructed as well.
Yeah.
And bonus, in Walt's office, he had the map board that had Disneyland and the Florida Project, but it was the map from the old Florida Project.
Yeah, which like absolutely wrecks me.
Well, the Epcot, like everything that it could have been. Like that's, Walt left that office with that map on the wall thinking, that's going to be the Florida
Project. I'm going to start crying again.
Oh my gosh. But
It's so sad. It's so sad to think about the fact that like he didn't get to see it through. And not even just what could have been, but just like to know, like I just wish I could tell him thank you. I'm going to cry.
Well, I'm not, but I'm here.
Of course, of course.
We did have an interaction right when we started our tour that kind of kicked off a chain of events that doesn't, what we were told, doesn't ever happen for D23 tours. But we were walking by Soundstage C, B?
Right.
B and C.
B and C are
like
together.
It's A, B, C, D. It's all there.
Yeah.
I think we were walking by B at that point on one side, or C, excuse me. We were walking by C on one side. And then we saw Dawn, which I don't know Dawn's specific position.
She referred to herself, I think, as a scheduler. Yeah. So
she's kind of in charge of basically what's happening in the sound stages. She said her stages are A, B, C, and D.
Right. I think she handles literally the scheduling for all of the sound stages. And what's cool is that these tour guides that you get to go on these tours with are constantly doing these tours and are getting to
know everybody on property pretty much. Yeah. I'm just bouncing off of it. Sorry.
Hunter's been doing this thing all day where I'm saying something and he just like
finishes it. Sandwiches.
Anyways. yin and yang. So I lost my train of thought. So
we met Dawn, and they had
knew our tour guide,
Hannah. And they had a nice little exchange. We were like, okay, cool. And then we thought like she answered some questions.
Yeah.
And she was like, this is what I do. Do y'all have any questions for me? And we asked a few, and we were like, that's a cool exchange. And we thought that was it. And as we were kind of walking away, she's like, come knock on my door at Studio B. Like,
yeah, at stage.
If you have some time.
Yeah.
And I let just kind of the way Hannah, our tour guide, kind of turned and looked, I could tell it's like, this isn't normal. She was like, we're gonna make time.
Yeah, I was like, yes, please, let's make time. And so Hannah did. Like we
fast forward. Yeah,
we rolled through that tour pretty quickly because when Francie and I did it a year ago, it took a while.
Really?
Yeah, it took a long time.
I feel like rolling through the corridors and stuff, like part of like what looking at the cells on the walls, like that all could have.
That took a lot longer for us last time.
It was definitely, I think it was the perfect
amount. Which I was fine with, yeah. But, I mean, you know, and some people would be passionate about it and want to spend more time there. But because of this potential opportunity, we had to roll through it. Yeah. So
what ended up happening? We finished at the Marvel Studios building at the archives, got to hold the Oscar. We went down through the lot, looked at a few more stages, saw the Lucasfilm area, sequestered off there. And then we walked up to, is it studio or soundstage?
Soundstage B.
And C. And Hannah walked up, pushed the buzzer. There was a sign out front that said, close set, do not enter. And she walked up, pushed the button. Door got buzzed open. She was like, she opened the door and peeked. I could tell it was new for her too. Because she opened the door and peeked in and was like, all right, all of y'all put your phones away. Because
And she was like, are we allowed to come in? And Don was there. And she was like, of course, come on in.
And she said something funny.
Yeah.
Can I say that? I don't know.
Yeah, you can say it.
She was like, my name's on the building. You can do whatever I want.
Yeah. Because
we're cool.
Hannah was concerned about us taking photos because this area, these sound stages are like high, like top security. Because these are the sound stages where the voiceovers for every single Pixar film
attractions
have been recorded, where all of like the Marvel films are done, which, to be honest, we learned that in the tour last year. I didn't even fully realize that a part of like the film process was that like
completely redubbing your lines.
Yeah, that they would have to redo all of their lines. Yeah. I didn't fully understand
that. She was really informative of like, I'm not going to go through the whole process, but like the time it takes,
right,
how they schedule out, like they're filming for this amount of time and then they have 8 weeks of dubbing and they just completely redo their lines.
So that being said, we literally got to go into soundstage B, which is where like Endgame was, like all
each
of the voiceovers,
the cast members was in there recording their lines. They had it set up for a, how did they say it? The terminology, a primary actor,
pretty
much. And they have, it's basically you walk into a room. It's a big room. Bigger than any room you'd have in your house, obviously. Tall ceilings, soundproof, so it's like that silent room.
Yeah.
And then they have a huge projector screen, kind of like as a small movie theater, and they would have the actor standing again.
Oh my gosh, so dignified today.
Yeah. They'd have the actor.
He goes to Walt Disney Studios once.
They'd have the actor. but they would basically stand there watching the scenes and dubbing their lines over, but they basically had it like, oh, stand here. And this is exactly what the actor is standing and looking at when they record their lines. And they let us stand there and take pictures. And we were just like, we're cool with this. And then they took us back into the sound booth. Yeah. And we're like, here's the sound booth. And
where there
the
was
controls.
A literal, like, Disney sound mixer working.
Yeah.
And had to,
he was very humble, but he's definitely, like, a Disney legend.
But he had to, like, jump onto the computer and, like, clear things so that we couldn't see it.
Well, yeah.
So
we got to see basically all the controls. And we were in there for 30 minutes.
We were there for a while, and it was just... And the other big thing, we've said Pixar, we've said Marvel. This is literally the soundstage where Walt Disney voiced Mickey Mouse.
Yeah.
Like, we got to stand...
From the start all the way till the most recent.
Yeah, we got to stand where Walt stood and take a photo. Obviously, the equipment is very different than what it was then.
Yeah.
But it's
same,
just
same space.
So iconic. Like, so, like, that was, and that is not part of the tour. That was an extra plus. Like, that is not something that typically happens with this tour. No. It was just because
it was a
Don was
coincidental,
the coolest.
Running into someone that they know and they really like Hannah,
I guess.
And they were like, come see me. And it was a mix of her schedule also. She was like, I don't have anything on the schedule today.
Right.
It's open. It's not like there were any like actors or producers,
right?
There was nothing happening in the sound stages at that time, so we did that. And then as we were kind of coming out, she's like, hold on one second. And she walked into the next room over, and we're like, okay, what's gonna happen now? And she lets us into the mixing room, which is like
C.
Full like Dolby Atmos sound system. It has like theater seating for directors. Disney executives go in there for screenings just to like, I guess, watch and just
give their
approve.
Opinions. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And I was standing, and they had all of like theater seating up top and then like mixers. It looked like launch control.
I was going to say, it looked like we were at a
space
station. Yeah.
In the middle. And then on the bottom and the floor, it was couches and like chairs. And I just was in my mind thinking, it's like, I can just see there's Favreau sitting right there next to Feige, and they're just sitting there. They're on the couches, and they're just telling the guys, the mixers behind them, it's like, all right, let's bring up the vocals on this, or let's do that.
Yeah.
And they mix Portals in there, like all of those iconic songs, both recent and in the past, have mixed there. And
they mix some Star Wars stuff there as well. They said that they have the ability with like sometimes Zoom, but like other programs to be able to like Zoom to the Lucasfilm studios, which is not here in LA,
to like work concurrently in like real time.
Yeah, which is mind-boggling to me because I'm like, what type of internet power do you guys have?
There's a lot of internet power.
Yeah, there. But it's just, it was so cool. Like that is iconic. That is so historic. And to be able to just be in the space where these ideas were like dreamed up and the details were ironed out, it's just so cool. And that's the thing about these D23 tours as well, though, is that you never know what you're going to get. Like, you could have Richard Sherman walking in and starting to play Feed the Birds in Walt's office. Like, there could be actors or actresses that you walk by on the lot that are there for work. You just literally have no idea.
It's kind of that run-of-the-mill, you never know what you're going to get.
Yeah.
And it's going to be different every time. Like, there were stormtroopers.
Yeah.
Like the old style stormtroopers just doing a photo op.
We have no idea why.
For cast members. They had a stars, like a galaxy backdrop, like black with the classic Star Wars speckle stars on it. And they're just two stormtroopers doing a photo op.
Maybe something to do with May the 4th.
Yeah, but that's not today.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But it's on Saturday. So
yeah. What's today?
Thursday. I don't know. But
it's not even Friday.
There are probably some stormtroopers that are going to be waiting for us pretty soon.
Yeah, we gotta get rolling here in a minute. So
but it was cool.
That we finished the tour off there. Dawn, shout out, is awesome.
She
was just like, yeah, come check it out. Like,
yeah, she was so chill.
I have a few minutes and she was just happy to show us, and she kept saying, I'm stealing a tour. And she led us around. It was like, we're going in here. We got to see all kinds of stuff. So we had some pictures. And it was really cool that we got to take pictures in there too. So we might see those pop up later
on the Instagram.
On the Insta.
Yeah. No, we'll share those for sure. I mean, Hunter, we'll share those for sure.
I will. I am trying to figure out the Instagram.
I'll make sure he knows.
You're coaching me.
Yeah, I'm trying to give him a crash course.
But yeah, then we drove 2 hours back in LA traffic, checked in our hotel,
and here we are
recording this episode, and now we are about to go to
Star Wars
Disney
Night.
Disneyland
After Dark Star Wars Night. We could say Star Wars
Night. I feel like
they
stole the Disney After Dark from our podcast.
Listen, we have mobile food orders that will be waiting for us.
What time are they ready? For real?
No, I think we're going to be okay.
Okay.
But it was such a special day. Yeah. I also have to say, it was so cool to be able to be there with my best friend.
It's cool.
Super special. Yeah. It's so fun watching. We process things. We're yin and yang. We process things so differently. Yeah. I was getting emotional.
You cry in Walt's office, and I'm taking pictures.
And he's
of
inspecting
books on the bottom of the shelves, being like, "Let me see what he reads, so I can read the description of this book to see."
It was
what
cool.
His mind
it was
like.
Cool to watch. Like, it was cool having done the tour before because I didn't feel like I was going to miss something when I knew like what they were going to be talking about.
Yeah.
So it was fun to just watch like everybody else's reactions on the tour. Like, there was a girl with us who was from Japan, and she was so intentional about taking pictures of everything.
Oh, yeah.
Which was cool. Like, she was so excited about all of these details. I don't know. Yeah. It was so fun. But it was really fun to get to like watch you process all that information.
I feel like if you're a D23 member, that tour is almost a must to like start your Disneyland vacation off.
Also, it's literally $100.
Yeah, it's just hard to get. Like, it's hard to get a spot, maybe.
Sometimes it's not. So it just really depends on, like, hopefully they're doing them while you're taking a trip to Disneyland. When I say this, like, I mean it. If you're going...
Oh, they only run it, like, in certain, like...
Certain
run
months.
It for a few months.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's hit or miss.
Like, right now, they're running it through July. I don't know if... I would imagine
so if
that
you booked a trip in, like, fall, like, you may not even know if, like...
Right. You just have to wait. We didn't even know... with this trip that we booked for a while ago, whether or not we were going to get a tour. Yeah. So I was.
But if it's available, it's 100% worth the cost.
Yeah, I think so. I think you should definitely do it. If you're doing a trip to Disneyland, you should incorporate that into your trip because it's so special.
It's part of the Disneyland experience, too.
I think
it's
so,
like,
too.
That's like the origin, and then you can go to Disneyland and appreciate it so much more.
For sure.
And then, obviously, we're going to tour Walt's apartment at Disneyland tomorrow. And that'll kind of be another full circle moment of like, oh, okay, cool. So he's going from studio to
I'm
going to
be
all that kind
so
of
emotional because I've not done this.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
This is the first time. I'm excited about this because this was like kind of my birthday present to myself and also Hunter's birthday present.
It's both of our birthday
presents. It was your birthday this week. Happy birthday, bud.
Thanks.
I don't know if you guys talked about that on last week's episode.
Nope.
You're a year older. 29.
One more year and then it's all downhill.
I hope that people understood that New Girl reference. 29?
I don't get it.
Yeah, it's fine. But yeah, happy birthday.
Thank you.
You had a good birthday?
Happy birthday to you too.
Thanks.
Coming up soon.
When's my birthday?
A few days.
Oh my
Stop, I God. Don't, I don't know
You
days.
Don't know it?
May...
Oh.
12th. May 9th. May 10th.
We're done.
11th. 12th.
We're done here.
13th. 14th.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's been real.
It's in May.
I am truly heartbroken.
I can't do this to me. I don't know dates.
That's truly terrible. There's like a distinction between our birthdays that like...
Oh, 13th.
Nope.
Dang it. I thought I had to do with threes.
No. You said it, but it's fine.
Oh, it's the 9th.
Well...
12th. It is the 12th.
No.
Because 1 plus 2 equals 3.
No.
3, 0, 30.
No.
Daggum. Well, time to go.
Truly heartbreaking.
Disney After Dark, Star Wars, the After Hours extravaganza.
Celebrate our birthdays.
Celebrate our birthdays. Yours coming soon.
Yeah. TBD.
I love you, dude.
Yeah, whatever. It's been real, everybody. Glad to be back. Stay tuned, Patreon. We are going to be doing a yin and yang episode. I'm going to put that out there and say it so that it's in writing. It's not really in writing.
Can't go back.
But we're going to do it. A yin and yang Disneyland experience, so stay tuned for that.
Yeah, and definitely more content in the future off of whatever happens on this trip. We've just begun.
I can't believe you don't know my birthday.
Day one.
Goodbye, everybody.
Bye-bye.